Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. There are countless experiences with the unexplained. This series is the longest running series on the channel, with 22 episodes in. It's no wonder that you guys have a fascination with all of these things that go bump in the night. Today, a few more subscribers sent in their creepy and unexplainable stories with the paranormal. If you have a story that you'd like to share, be sure to do so by sending it in to swampdweller.net or the email that you can find in the description down below. I'd love to hear from you. Joining me today in this video is my good friend Mr. Ramsey. If you enjoy his voice, please check out his channel and consider subscribing. He does some good videos. Now, let's get into these truly creepy stories. My name is Kylie, and I was 16 when this happened. It was the most terrifying day of my life. I had just gotten my driver's license and was very excited to be able to drive to my friends. We were finally going to be able to drive alone, her and I, without any adults in the car. I decided to go on a trip with my two friends. We were so excited to go on a girls' day road trip. We heard about this old, abandoned, and possibly haunted house about 4 hours south from Salt Lake City. We all jumped at the chance to go. It was on a Friday the 13th, so we thought we would get some good stuff. Well, I guess we were right. I was concentrating on the road while my friends were in the back giggling and painting their nails. I've been driving for about 3 hours already, and it was starting to get dark. I'm not going to lie, I was getting really nervous. I've never really driven in the dark, but I refused to tell them that. I was so excited to get there, and annoyed that I couldn't join in the fun in the back seat. After another hour, we were about 30 minutes away. We were now in a forest area in the middle of nowhere. I was going faster than normal, wanting to get there. I was staring at the road, when out of nowhere, there was a black figure in front of my car. Thinking it was a person, I slammed on the brakes, causing the nail polish to go flying everywhere. I was holding onto the steering wheel so tight my hands were turning purple. The black figure just stood there. I just couldn't seem to look away. I slowly turned my head to look at my two friends. They were staring wide-eyed at me, and then back at the road. We were all silent and scared out of our minds. I slowly turned my head to come face to face with a monster. It had red eyes. Its arms hung so low, I couldn't even see them. Its head looked like it had been through hell. It didn't have a left eye. It only had one red eye. This figure was so tall, I had to move forward a little just to see this thing's face. I didn't even know what to think. My mind was blank, and it was staring right at me. It had blood-covered fur, and I was terrified. I didn't know what to do. I took a good 5 minutes of staring at this thing before I finally got the nerve to move. I sped up as fast as my car would go and raced down the street before crashing my car into a tree. I had a few broken bones, ribs, and an arm and a foot, but my friends, they had bad injuries, from one going into a coma to one actually even passing away. I was the only one that wore a seatbelt. I'm the only one that remembers what happened that night, and the last thing I remember was a dark laughter. This was the last time I drove at night or in the mountains alone. I'm always going to have that night in my mind. I'm never going to forget what happened.
I live in a nice neighborhood in Pearland, Texas. The neighborhood is only about 18 years old and still in good condition. To my knowledge, there is nothing historical about the land it was built on. My house has always had an ominous and uneasy vibe to it. Not really good or bad, just foreboding in a way. I've never seen anything scary to think this, at least initially. On bright sunny days, it just felt dark, cold, alone. Tonight was different though. I got home from work to see my dad and dog just chilling. My mum was still at work. I'd went into the kitchen to say hi to my dog and pet him. Eventually, I snuck into the bathroom to sneak some selfies and put them on Snapchat. Upon walking in, I noticed my brother's DS charging in the bathroom, which I found odd as he never leaves it outside of his room. I take my selfies and then walk down the hall, noticing the blinds are open in my grandma's room and she's sleeping. I tiptoe by, go to my room, on the way noticing my brother's door is closed, which means he's home, as if he isn't, he leaves it cracked for us to see he isn't in. I'm checking my views on Snapchat when I hear what I believe is my brother's footsteps down the hall, which are distinct as he always sounds like he is banging his heels hard on the floor when he's walking down the hall. 2 minutes later, I get a text from my dad asking if I left the oven on. Not thinking, I ask him why he would ask me that if my brother just went down the hall and towards the kitchen. There was a moment of silence, at which point I got up to see why no one replied to me. I see the kitchen light is off, and my dad is still chilling. I tell him I heard my brother coming down the hall, it wasn't me, when I hear his response. It gives me chills. He tells me my brother isn't home, at which point I laugh nervously and tell him I just heard him going down the hallway. And Grandma can't get up without assistance of some kind, so it couldn't possibly be her. So now I am standing there looking at an oven that's set for 350 degrees, and my dad staring at me every bit as confused as I am when I hear a loud banging on the door. I jump only to realise it's the UPS guy delivering a package at the same time all this weird shit is going down. What the hell was going on? Some things to note about the whole situation. My dad was on the couch, half asleep watching Star Trek. My grandma's immobile. My dog started whining when I talked to Dad, but he didn't whine when I heard footsteps. My brother's DS was charging in the bathroom, and he never leaves his electronics out when not home. He also leaves the door open enough for us to know when he's not home. I never touched anything in my kitchen except my dog, who was in his playpen. So what was it I had heard? I don't wish to call it a glitch, but I didn't quite wish to say it's paranormal, as I've never seen anything in my home. It's felt weird in the house at times, but that's it. Sometimes I see my dog acting weird in the backyard, and I wish I could somehow ask him why he's acting that way. I may never get real answers, but I am open to suggestions.
I am originally from Houston. And as I reached middle school, I was introduced to the occult due to the fact that I believed our house was haunted. It always had a sense that you were being watched, and occasionally, my mom and I would see shadows in the hallway. Nothing could prepare us for the future. I'm a single mom of two beautiful children, and we are a close-knit family. After a bitter breakup with my daughter's father, my parents invited me home with open arms to live with them. My daughter has autism and the mentality of a small child, but she is my baby nonetheless. In 2014, my dad had to retire early due to a near-fatal heart attack, at which point we moved to Central Texas for a slower pace of life. Each property in the new neighborhood was an acre of land, or a bit more like ours each. On the other side, next to the plot of land, is a community park with some woods in the background. Of it gives you a real horror vibe to it. The neighborhood, being nice and new, I'd often hike with my four-legged baby JJ, who is a rescue from Houston. 2 weeks after moving into our new home, my dad came in one night as he is a smoker, as am I sadly, and the two of us went out back to smoke. My dad pointed out some wild deer running around, and I sat in awe at the sight of them. One night, my dad and I were outside, watching the deer in our yard when my dad went in after he heard my mom calling him into the house to help with dinner. I stayed just a few more seconds before I reached for the front door, but I stopped when I heard a mandolin voice say, "Hello." Turning my head to see where the voice came from, I replied, "Hello?" A chill went down my spine, all of a sudden, and I began to feel as though I was being watched, at which point I went inside. A few nights later, I was reading in my room about visualization when I heard three knocks on my bedroom door. "Come in," I said, thinking it was my dad or my son at the door. I soon spoke up louder because my dad can't hear too well, due to his hearing being practically dead in one ear from a childhood injury. Three more knocks came at the door, so I got up and opened it. There was no one there, so I thought maybe my son was messing around, since his room is practically only a few steps away. Exhausted, however, I turned in for the night. The next night I heard three more knocks at my door once again. This time I went straight for the door, but once again, there was nothing there. I checked my son's room, however. He was out cold. I then checked on my daughter, but she was also fast asleep. Deciding it was nothing but my imagination, I brushed it off and went back to my room. The second I closed my bedroom door, there were three knocks once again, which seemed to be coming from all around the room. It was in this moment I knew we had a problem, and being a practicing Wiccan, I knew something needed to be done about it soon. I ordered several supplies online from an occult store. I bought black salt for the border of our property, some sage, oil, sea salt, new feathers, and of course, the shell. As I waited for my supplies to be shipped to me, I knew I needed to cleanse the place. The knocking continued for days, but one night it went way beyond that. I woke up to a burning sensation in my back, so I ran to the bathroom to confirm that I already believed to be true. I'd been attacked by what I believed to be was a demon, and now had three long scratches on my back. It felt like someone took hot knives and scraped them on my back. As soon as my supplies came in, I blessed them all. The next morning I laid black salt oil along our property line. As I prepared my ritual bath, sea salt helps cleanse any negative energy off you, plus a couple of black candles and a white pillar candle on the middle of some lavender. This helps me in visualizing negative energy coming off me. I heard my daughter scream. She ran to her grandma saying a mean man was at her window tapping on it. My dad rushed out, but he found nothing. While my dad was checking out back, a knick-knack that was my great-grandmother's flew off the shelf and almost hit my son. Seeing this, I went to finish my bath and started the ritual. Starting with my room, I went through the house saging every inch of the house, demanding the evil to leave my home, and letting it know this was our home, and it wasn't welcome here. I was determined to get rid of whatever the hell this thing was, and I even laid sea salt in our windows, as well as in each of our bedrooms. A week later, I saged the house again to be safe. In time, the house began to feel cleaner, the air felt lighter, and everything just went back to normal. That was until 6 weeks later, when all of our smoke alarms went off simultaneously, and even after my dad and I removed the batteries, two of the alarms were still going off. I soon performed another ritual, and all seemed fine until my son came home from walking one of the dogs outside and told his grandma about something he had heard. He was scared to death, and as I came home, JJ needed to go out, so I put a leash on him and took him out. As we walked, JJ stopped dead in his tracks and began growling while trying to pull me towards the house. I assumed it was coyotes he heard or sensed, but as I took a couple of steps, I heard the loudest growl that I've ever heard. This growl didn't sound like an animal I'd ever heard. It seemed more like a monster than anything, and it was enough for us to really hightail it out of the park. JJ was so scared he literally went into our room and was shaking. I told my mom what I heard and she looked as the blood drained out of her face before telling me what my son had heard previously. We've decided it's time to move. I am somebody who spends most of their time outdoors, and I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So of course, when I decided to go to college, I had to keep in mind that having some decent woods nearby was a must. Upon checking out a couple of places, I decided to go to Edinburgh University of Pennsylvania, or just the borough. The biggest place about going to that university is that my Uncle Fred lived up there and was a well-known name in the community. He owns to this day a framing shop right in the middle of a small town area. This was a huge plus, knowing people like that always equals more land to put spots in. That's all I really needed to pick the college I was going to go to. Edinburgh is really cool because there are a lot of old buildings and strange flat landscapes as compared to the hilly land around Pittsburgh. So it was cool to have to figure out how to scout the game I'd be going after once the season started. My main hunting area was directly behind my uncle's house. He has a beautiful log cabin that sits back off the road with woods on all sides of it. It was a true thing of beauty. When he had the house built, he actually had the gigantic chimney made of flat stones that were found in the woods behind the house. More on that later. As I was scouting the area for the first time, I came up on a few different circles of boulders in the middle of the woods. They were definitely very old. The boulders were quite big, much too big to just be moved for some reason like a group of guys camping out. They must have taken 10 men to move them, and only if they had some kind of pulley system or something of the sort. There were also smaller rocks, and when I say smaller, I'm talking like somewhere around 300 pounds or more, making inner circles inside the large boulders. It was really crazy. I found a total of 7 of these throughout the whole property. Some of the rocks that were now part of the chimney, they simply had to be with the amount of rocks he used on it. Oh, also these rock circles also made a much larger circle around the woods. After a few more days of scouting with my buddy Brandon, we were sure we had our spots picked out for the first day of archery. We couldn't wait to get out there. It was a perfect day too. It was just perfect. It was great. The thing about Edinburgh, Pennsylvania is that it gets more snow per year than most of Alaska due to the lake effect snow coming across Lake Erie. What happens is before the lake freezes completely over, the snow, which is warmer than the air, pushes the clouds way up into the atmosphere, too high for them to actually snow due to the low temperature all the way up there. The clouds then come inland and fall back toward Earth. It takes them about 20 miles to do this. Edinburgh is about 20 miles from the lake. You see what I'm saying? Anyway, on the first day of archery, which is in the first week of October in Pennsylvania, there was a thin layer of snow. This is perfect for archery because you can see the deer in the woods much more easily, and you can also see if any animals left any tracks. If they did, they were fresh since the snow didn't happen too long before that. We had been sitting in our tree for roughly 2 hours or so, and not one of us had seen anything yet. I had just got off the radio with Brandon, whom was on the other side of the property, when I seen some movement over to my right in the pine thicket. I then see a branch move a little bit and seen 4 deer legs under. I readied my bow and my stance so as to make a clean shot at the deer. Around 15 feet up in a tree, I did this very carefully. About a minute later, I was looking for any movement. I lost the 4 legs inside the thicket. This was expected due to the fact that the deer were probably feeding, so this would be common for them, so I waited for them to return. Maybe around a minute later, I caught movement again. It looked as if the deer would break through the thicket into more open woods. The moment I'd been waiting for. As I brought the bow up into full draw stance, I was stunned by what I was seeing. Where the deer should have been, there was a man. A strange-looking man at that. This absolutely should not have been. If there was a man anywhere near where the deer had been, the deer would have been long gone, spooked back into the thicket. I put my bow back down onto the hook. I screwed into the tree and left my binoculars to my eyes. At only around 35 yards away, I could now see a great deal of his physical appearance. He was rather rotund, with his belly leading the way, a white long-sleeved shirt with ruffles down the middle of it, just like a pirate shirt. It was tucked in, thick, with canvas brown pants, with pants being tucked into white socks directly below his knees. Further down, where his shoes should be, was absolutely nothing. He had no feet whatsoever, no calves, no shins, no shoes. With my wide open eyes, I could see nothing. Instead of walking, he seemed to float through the woods, going from left to right. This is when I started noticing other extremely strange things about him. I looked through the binoculars at his head. It was cocked back with his chin resting on his lower neck. His very large red bulbous nose in the air, and a bit of a sort of snobby overall look. The hair, though, the hair, was covered by a wig that judges in England wear, a white wig with three curls on the side. I noticed he didn't just seem to glide through the woods, but he was legitimately floating. His arms stayed stuck at his sides and unmoving as he traveled. He also never looked down. The way his head was cocked, he would have only been able to look upward. This is not how any person or animal walks in the woods, constantly looking down and around for obstacles that you may trip over. All of this happened within a time period of maybe 20 seconds or so. He had come out of the thicket behind a medium-sized oak tree, and then he hit the next oak tree. He never came out from behind it. I watched in absolute astonishment for another 5 minutes, waiting for him to break his cover so I could see him again. But this never happened. I told Brandon what had happened, and he was immediately freaked out, but he did make fun of me. I don't think he really believed me. I told him he won't be laughing when the deer thing comes after him. Anyways, I have no idea what that was, some kind of forest spirit or what. Maybe you guys in the comments can let me know. I'll start by telling you a few things about me. I'm 18 years old and live in northern Canada, in two different homes. One is with my father, who lives right in the middle of 222 acres of woods. We've got but a single neighbor, who is situated about a kilometer away. My second home is with my mother. She lives on the edge of a city, close to the woods, and the main shopping center. The story is split into three parts, and believe me, it may sound crazy, but I swear, all of this is true. The first part of the story starts at my father's house. I'd often go for walks in the woods. It was peaceful and quiet. I'd always bring my three dogs for protection, a German Shepherd and two Australian Shepherds. Nothing ever happened in the woods. There was the occasional sighting of bears, and we found quite a few lynx tracks, but nothing out of the ordinary. Until something started watching me from the woods. A black figure of sorts. At first, I thought it was just my paranoid mind playing tricks on me, so I shrugged it off. A few days passed since I first felt the strange watching presence. It was a cold day out. The sun was gone and the wind came from the north, making it even colder. It was around noon, and it was time for me to bring the dogs out for a walk. I brought them down to the road that leads to my house. Nobody was around and it was silent all over, except for the wind blowing through the tree leaves. I was calm. But then, it felt like I was being followed. Of course my dogs were following me, but this feeling was dark. I continued, and eventually turned back to go home. Everyone was gone, so I arrived to an empty house. As I was about to bring the dogs into their kennel, I noticed one of the Aussies was frozen in place. He was staring into the woods. I tried to get his attention, but he would not budge. I walked over to him, pat his head. He only growled, but not to me. He growled to whatever was in the woods. The dog was pacing, tail tucked between his legs and ears held back. That made me feel a little uneasy, since I had been feeling watched or followed during the walk. It also meant I wasn't the only one who felt it. I decided to be safe and locked the door when I was inside. I'd like to say this feeling left after a while, but no. It only became more frequent. I had to lock and cover my windows at night because it felt as though someone was peering through them. I told people about it, especially those I lived with. They'd tell me it was a bear or maybe some ghost. A few even mentioned that it could be a stalker. I knew it was neither of these things. It just didn't feel right. Fast forward to about 3 months after the first occurrence. It's September, and the weather has begun to get colder. I was outside with my dogs cleaning some skulls I had recently gotten from a trapper. I was just minding my own business, all of my family members were gone, so I was left alone again. Then, I went near the forest and felt the dark presence again. It was so strange. I just couldn't shake it off as nothing. Scared, I went inside and decided to make myself some food in the comfort of my home. The fear left, and I felt safe again, until I heard the dreadful sound coming from the woods outside. It sounded like a man screaming, a deer howling in pain, and the low growl of a bear, all at once. It was the scariest thing I've ever heard in my life. I checked all the doors and ran to the second story of the house to hide. I'm not sure why I felt so much fear, since I heard nothing after that. But I called a relative, and they told me I was just hearing things. That night, I could barely sleep. I was afraid of whatever this thing was going to come inside. I kept seeing things in the shadows of the trees after this incident. It was hard to ignore. Eventually, I went to live with my mother in the city. I was there for a better chance at a job. I also had some friends to reunite with there. Once I moved, I met up with my childhood best friend. She and I decided to take a long walk in the chilly temperatures of the night. We talked and talked. Nothing happened until about 11:30. We were crossing the street when I heard the same exact sound, but much louder, coming from the woods down the road. I was terrified. My friend, though, paid no attention to it. We continued walking, but I was a little more paranoid than before, just waiting for something to jump out after me. An hour passed, and we had to split ways. She went home and I did too. I had some instrumental music playing on my phone to keep me calm. Obviously, that didn't last long. Of course, something had to happen in the dead of night while I was alone. As I walked in the streets, I heard a baby scream. But it didn't sound normal. It was a horrifying, distorted scream. I looked in the direction of the sound and thought I saw someone there. My feet moved faster than before, trying to get me home. Then I heard another scream, much scarier than the first. I ran for it. That might not have been the best decision, but it was instinctive. Suddenly, I heard feet hitting the pavement and felt like something or someone was chasing me. I looked back quickly and thought I saw a large black figure coming, but it only lasted several seconds till I saw nothing. The shouts and screams did not stop, though. I finally got home, but I realized the door was locked and couldn't get inside. Unfortunately, those screams continued. After many calls and pressing the doorbell, my stepfather opened the door. I was a hyperventilating mess, but I got through it. I'm very spiritual, and I've been told by many mediums or spiritual leaders that I am a beacon for bad spirits. I assumed that it was a bad spirit, but I remember reading about Wendigos, a creature that is apparently connected to me in some ways that are unknown to me. I did research again and deeply believe that whatever followed me is still watching me. I'm not sure if it's a Wendigo, but it could be. Some acquaintances agree that it is quite possible. Now I'm just waiting for my next encounter with it, and I'm left wondering, what does it want, and what will it do next? Wow, these stories were definitely creepy, and if I'm honest with myself, very hard to explain. If you guys have any stories that you can't explain, whether it be with the paranormal or something else, be sure to send it in to swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. Be sure to hit that like button if you enjoyed these stories, as it helps me out a ton. If you're new to the swamp, why not subscribe and turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day, and all things natural and supernatural. If you guys enjoyed my friend Mr. Ramsey, who read story number 2, please check his channel out and subscribe. I think he'll very much appreciate that. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.